So good to be with you tonight. We always think of you when we're over in Palau and look forward to being back with you. We report every 2 years, and so that time just flies by. It seems like yesterday, and we were with you here again. Well, it's good to be back with you tonight. In some ways, we see the world through our television sets. We see other cultures, we see foreign places, people of all kinds, different foods. You see the news in Mongolia or who won the election in Timbuktu. Just anything you want to know and find, we can find it on the television. And so tonight, I'd like to take you to Palau and Chuuk in the South Pacific through a television set. In Palau and Chuuk, there is cable TV, but it's not the kind where you have the menu at the bottom and the on-screen being able to advance and see what picture's there or what program is on the next channel. It's the kind where you just have to flip through the channels old style to find out what's on. And so that's exactly what it is that we're going to do tonight. Just flip through the channels and find out what's on. And so we're searching. We're searching for something to watch. And I wonder if maybe we'll see some other kind of searching through the searching that we're doing. So let's see what we can find here on the television. Well, these are commercials. Here we are. This is the Joey Treat channel. It's a very popular channel that you may not have heard of. You know, it's an interesting one. Who wouldn't want to watch a show just about me and my family? I don't know. We've been in the islands for 11 years now, 5 in Saipan and 6 in Palau. And brethren, we've become accustomed to life there. Even though the internet speed is like 20 years ago in Palau, brethren, it's the culture that we've learned and that we've gotten used to, and that's good. We want to become all things to all men, and that's what we have been striving to do. But it's strange because, having been there so long, we now feel more comfortable there than here. How about that? There feels more like home because of the length of time that we've been there. It's a weird feeling, really, to come back to the States. I feel it. My wife feels it. My children even feel it. And so we don't have any plans to return to the United States. We're where we feel like we're doing the most good for the Lord for us. And so that's good. We're where we want to stay. So let's see what else we might find on television this evening. Do you like to watch fishing on TV? I don't. There's some things that I would prefer to not watch on television, and a fishing program is one of them. Here we are, another channel, the Palau Church of Christ. It has grown since we were with you last. We had one divisive brother who kindly left the church and started his own very, very small group. Here you see my daughter doing the Lord's Supper. She does that every Sunday. My son was picking up trash. He does that every Sunday. So it's a family effort. But this brother who started his own small group up in another area ended up passing away, and so we were able to inherit one of those who was worshiping with him, and this is RC. RC is one of our very faithful members, and he lives way up in Imalik State in Palau, which is what you're seeing now. It takes about an hour and a half round trip to pick him up for services, but we did that in the morning before service and then in the afternoon after the services, but that gave he and I some good time to visit and to talk. And so that's RC, one of our members. We had Mino and Cheryl, and you probably don't remember me reporting on them 2 years ago, but they had left the church, and brethren, they've come back. We really believe in the importance of reaching out to those lost sheep and trying to bring them back in, and we're so thankful to let you know that Mino and Cheryl have come back to the church. Let me tell you about Marissa, another one of our members there in Palau. And she is a faithful sister. She has a job working at a convenience store during the late shift, the night shift, and the only one there during that time. In Palau, there are not a lot of crimes, but there are a few. Domestic violence is probably the most common, and second to that would be stealing or robbery. And so there was a convenience store not far from where she worked that was robbed. And they don't have guns in Palau. Very few people have guns, and those that are there, except for the police force, those that are there illegally. And so they rob a store with machetes. And so a convenience store not far from where Marissa worked was robbed, and she expressed then concern to her employer, hey, what if we get robbed? You know, I'm the only one here late at night, and so how's that gonna go? The owner of the store did not give her a very good response. He put the money first. He said, well, if they come into the store, lock the cash drawer and throw the key and then run away. And we told Marissa, she shared that with her church family, and we told her, Marissa, don't do that, because they're going to get mad at you for doing that. Just give them what they want and then and run away. Just save yourself first. So Marissa quit that job and has been looking for another. So like I said, it's the church family, a very close-knit family there in Palau, and we're very happy that we have that. Marissa has been bringing Nimpa, another Filipino girl, to the services, and we've been able to have several Bible studies with Nimpa. We're looking forward to getting back to Palau so we continue those Bible studies, and Lord willing, Nimpa will be able to become a sister in Christ. One of the things that we do in Palau is watch the newspapers. We have two newspapers in Palau, this country of 24,000 people. Two newspapers, the Island Times and Tia Balau. And through these newspapers, sometimes we can generate contacts for Bible studies. I saw a picture in the paper of a store that is right next door to our house. And there was something bad that had happened in that store, and a girl was hurt. And it was my neighbor across the street from the store who had kindly helped the girl out of the situation. And so I went to him and I said, hey, take me to this family. I know you know them, so take me to this family. And he did. And so he took me down, and you have a single mother living with a young girl and a very young boy, and that's all. And very, very humble accommodations. Very small little house. You would imagine it more like a shack. And they don't have air conditioning. Now, remember with me, we're on an island that's 5 degrees off the equator. And so they don't have the money for paying the electric bill of an air conditioner. And so they don't have the air conditioner. A lot of houses in Palau are that way. And so what they do is they just have open windows, like all the windows of this building, multiply it times 3 because they want the air circulation, and then put no shutters, no glass, just some screen, some rat screen, and then mosquito screen on top of that. That's very common in Palau. So this family has that kind of a situation. And these are the kind of people that we work with in Palau, and we were very happy to contact this one and did it through watching the newspapers. Let's see what else is on television tonight. TV Guide, no. The Weather Channel, do you watch the Weather Channel more than for 2 or 3 minutes to see what's happening? Here we go, the Chinese Channel. The Chinese have come into Palau very strongly. Some visa requirements were lifted off of the Chinese, and so they've really come in and bought up everything. Well, it's given us an opportunity in the church to reach out to them. We had one Chinese man coming to the worship services. We had several Bible studies with him, but I've got to tell you, it was very difficult to communicate with him because his English was so weak and very, very broken. So what we ended up doing was getting some Chinese Bible studies from World Video Bible School, putting them on a DVD and giving to him. Well, that's one way. But the Chinese have come into Palau, and that's opened up a little bit of a door for us, and we're looking for ways that we can further reach out to those people. Also on TV, ice skating I don't like to watch. How about archery? Are you a fan of it on TV, I mean? Here's the radio TV channel, and this is interesting. The radio TV channel, we've been given an opportunity in Palau to have some segments on one of the radio stations there. And that has come about because we've tried to get very involved in the community. If you've ever lived in a small community, then you know the great importance of getting involved in the community. They depend on one another. They don't have the resources to do other things, so there's more dependency. And so therefore, there's more expectation for people to get involved. We had a drought this year. And you know, here in the U.S., when you have a drought, you just call up the neighboring county and say, hey, can we have some water? And they ship over some water. And it may be very far away. I understand that L.A. gets their water from Colorado, if you can imagine that. Well, we don't have neighboring counties to get water from. And so the drought in Palau this year was very severe. And instead of getting more water, they just cut back our water hours down to 2 hours a day. And so all of the laundry, all of the dishes, all of the everything that involves any water coming through the tap had to be done in those 2 hours, and that lasted for several weeks. It was a little bit scary. But that's the kind of thing that makes the island draw together and cooperate and depend on one another. So very important then for Tammy and I to get involved in the community, and that's what we've done. Because of that, one of the owners of the radio station there talked to me, and he said, Joey, if you want to do some spots on the radio, then just come on over and we'll open that up for you. And I said, great. So we have. We've written 15 radio spots, and I'd like to share one with you tonight. Because, brethren, they're a little bit different, a little bit unique. In Palau, they have their Palauan legends. And these are things that are like folklore, fables. It might be comparative to in the U.S. to the Lone Ranger or to Paul Bunyan. It's something that we know is not true, but something that we use to teach lessons to the children. And so one of these Palauan legends I'll share with you now. And then we draw biblical principles off of it. On this radio segment, we have this. Palau Legends and the Legendary Bible. In the Palau legend of Bacau and Bengal, the warriors of Narimongui raided the nearby village of Naralong. There was one man they wanted to capture more than any other. A special canoe was built that would carry 14 warriors and one prisoner. When it was finished, the men boarded the canoe and sailed through the night to Naralong. They silently crept through the village looking for the man, and they found him sleeping alone in the village by. They gagged him and tied him up, and then carried him quickly back to their canoe. They headed back home, planning to deliver the man to the village the next day as they entered. And away they paddled through the same way that they had come, which was along a narrow passage in the mangroves. There was no moon that night, and the swamp was pitch black. Only a few stars gave the slightest amount of light. The warriors struggled to see their way through the mangroves. The man, tied up in the bottom of the boat, had a unique perspective. He could just see the outline of the branches overhead when they blocked the light of the dim stars. Being left alone in the bottom of the boat, he was able to free his hands, and then he waited. When the time was right, he silently reached up and pulled himself up onto a branch. The warriors didn't even realize he was gone. And as the boat returned to Narimongui, the sun began to dawn, and the warriors realized their trophy was gone. Back in Naralong, the man reported all that had happened, so they named that tree Bacau and Bengal, or the Fighting Mangrove Tree. Well, there are some unique things about the nighttime. It can be hard to see at night. Paul and Silas were in a bit of trouble in Acts 17, and the brethren sent them away by night to Berea, so that the people who were looking for them might not see them. In 1 Thessalonians 5:7, we read, "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Usually people are drunk in the night. When driving in the early hours of the morning, we have to be more cautious, watching for drunk drivers. Jesus said he would return like a thief in the night. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Like when a thief comes, it'll be a surprise. There'll be no signs or warnings, just, "Oh, he's here." It'll be a surprise. And two verses later, Paul tells us, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so this day should overtake you as a thief." We can look forward to the day of our Lord's return. We don't have to be anxious about it. When we love God and follow His word, we can have confidence in that day. Isn't that good news? I'm Joey Treat with the Palau Church of Christ, learning from Palau legends and the Legendary Bible. Well, those are the kind of things that we're able to put on the radio there in Palau. Some infomercials, an aquarium show. Brethren, let's stop on the Chuuk channel, and we'll go from Palau over to Chuuk. Now, this is in a different country. This country is the Federated States of Micronesia, and Chuuk is one state in that country. There are four of them. And so we have three different places where the brethren are meeting. That one is a house. That's in Miari, up on top of the mountain. Good hike to get up there. And then this one is the Naaman Church of Christ building. And then we're going across the island over to the Epinoop Church of Christ building. And the people of Chuuk are a poor people. There's not enough jobs. They earn about $1.50 an hour, which is not enough even to buy rice for them. But brethren, they have hearts of gold. I camp in a screened-in pavilion. And I like to do that because it gets me closer to the people, but have to be careful because the drunks in Chuuk are very, very bad. It's by their nationality. I don't know if it's a physical makeup or what it is, but when they get drunk, they turn mean. You know, some drunks are passive and easygoing, and others are mean, and the Chukis are mean when they get drunk. And so camping, we have to have a screened-in area with rat wire so that they can't get into where you're at. And so one night, I was awakened by someone snoring. And it was very, very close. And in fact, I could tell that the one snoring was no more than about 2 feet away from where I was sleeping. But I realized it was on the other side, outside the tent and on the other side of the wall. But there he was. Some drunk was walking down the road and saw the eave of the building where I was and came up and laid down on the dirt outside and slept right there. And so I was making an illustration with the brethren the next day in the Bible study. And I said, don't drink, don't go get drunk, because you don't know where you're going to end up sleeping. I told him about the drunk that slept on the dirt just right on the other side of where I was camping. And so that night, Urson came down, and he brought his chair, and he brought a brother with him, and down the mountain. They live up on the mountain a little bit. And set his chair there and just sat down. I said, Urson, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to keep watch in case the drunks come and bother you tonight. And I said, Urson, don't do that. There's no reason to have to do that. And so he said, okay, picked up his chair, walked about 20 feet away, sat it back down, and kept watching. And you can't tell them no. You can't tell them not to take care of you, because they're going to take care of you, hearts of gold. And so I said, Urson, listen, the one who was drunk, who was sleeping on the other side of the wall there, it was Anthony. It was this brother. He's a brother in Christ. He came to me later that day and said, Joey, I'm having a trouble with drinking. Pray for me. Help me. What can we do? So he admitted it, but that he was struggling with it. And so we had the unique situation of a brother protecting a brother with a brother from a brother. Those are the kind of things that we run into sometimes in the islands. And that's what we had there. That's what we had there in Chuuk. So let's see what else is on TV. The unique thing that we have in Chuuk also is a lack of grape juice. None of the stores for about 2 years now have carried grape juice. 100% Welch's or any other kind, 100% grape juice you cannot find. And sometimes they even run out of flour for making the bread. I've gone to restaurants and asked for a handful of flour so that we can make the Lord's Supper communion. And so they run out of the grape juice. We have boiled raisins. We have taken grape juice in. I've ordered the little cups from the U.S. that have the bread on the top and the juice in the bottom. They really like that because it's so easy. But this solution, this is the best one by far. And we used to be able to get it in the U.S., but not anymore. I ordered this out of China. I'm supposed to order great big batches, but we ordered a sample batch, which will last in Chuuk for maybe a year. But anyway, it's freeze-dried grape powder. And so it's like crushed grapes in a powder form. We can mix that with water, and then it is 100% pure grape juice for them. And the benefit to it is, see, they don't have refrigerators. So I can't take in even bottles of grape juice because it would spoil just after 1 week in that island heat. It's gone bad. And so this is a great solution for us. Sometimes we got to get creative in what we're doing there in Chuuk. And then we have baptisms, of course. We had 7 baptisms last summer in Chuuk, for example, and that's when we had a campaign. Steve Weiss was there. In fact, you'll see Steve Weiss in this video. And so we are continually looking for Bible studies. We're able to strengthen the church in Epinoop and reestablish it. You're probably thinking to yourself, her hand was up. That's right. We did the baptism again because her hand was up. Okay. And so this is the work in Chuuk. This is the work in Chuuk. Getting those Bible studies, getting the baptisms, and then that's the easier part. The harder part is getting them grounded in the faith and staying faithful after the baptism. That's a challenge. The saddest thing that I'll share with you tonight is the loss of one of my good friends, Frog. He was our preacher in the church in Miari up on top of the mountain, and he went fishing. And in the islands, that means you've got your spear gun and your flippers, and you're going to go in the water and spear the fish. They've got surgical tubing, and they put the spear on it and wind it up and let it go, and it'll spear the fish. And so he went swimming in some rough water, and I'm sorry to tell you, did not come home. It is more than I can comprehend to think about the loss that occurred when we lost this brother. He had a family, young boys, and even now, it was several months ago, and even now it's difficult for me to talk about my friend. But I'll tell you something interesting. In Chuuk, they have knowledge of the Bible, but it's not always applied in the correct way. And they have developed the custom of when a man dies, the wife will go and marry his brother from the Old Testament, you see. And so that's exactly what happened here. His wife, Pia, went to his home island and married Frog's brother, married his brother. Well, that island is impossible to get to unless you're going to stay there for a week. There's a boat that goes there, no plane. There's a boat that goes there, but it goes once a week. And so it'll drop you off on one trip there, and then it will pick you up on the next trip there. And so it's really not able to visit Pia and the boys, and that's a challenge. So please pray for the church in Miari. We've gone back to there's very few members there, and so what I call desperate mode. We have to really get in there and find some other people to baptize, to build the church up so that it has enough of a foothold to continue. And so please pray for the church in Miari. Home shopping channel, no. Fireplace video, no. Brethren, this is something for us to watch. Moving Mountains Television. This is our channel in Palau. You may remember that we were able to start a channel. Palau is a developing country, so we can do this very affordably. And we have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our own channel to display whatever it is that we want. And here we are showing you what the filming studio looks like. One small bedroom in our home is what it is, but it works. We're able to program the channel and to keep it moving. This is a way that we are able to get into people's living rooms through this TV channel, and what a great blessing. We can share God's word with them all day long in a non-threatening way through this TV channel. It's terrific. But you know, the question to ask concerning the TV channel is, are people watching it? Because let's face it, it's religious TV. It's religious TV. So are they watching it? Well, let me share with you some of the feedback that we've gotten this year alone. This year alone, one of our friends said, the picture on your channel looks good. That is after there was a fuzzy picture issue and the cable company had fixed it. One Filipino lady, when we explained that we were the ones that operated Moving Mountains TV, said, oh, that's you. She'd heard of it. She didn't know it was us that was doing it. Another said, I noticed that Moving Mountains was down and is back up now. Because of limited equipment, when island power goes down, our channel goes down. And island power goes down once a week. Very unreliable power system. Another said, I noticed, two groups rather, have come to me asking, how do we set up a TV channel, knowing that we were the ones doing this? Another friend of mine mentioned watching a program on the channel, and the president of the Bank of Hawaii came and asked when certain shows would be watching. Another friend of me said, I saw you the other night on TV. They were watching our show, Leaping in Faith, which I'll talk about more in a minute. One family, there was a problem with the audio on one of the programs. And they called our home. They called and said, we can't hear it. Can you fix it? So I went back in the studio and fixed it and restarted the program. And they called back and said, thank you. How would you like to be able to call NBC and say, can you restart that program? I just missed it. I missed the beginning. Well, you could do that if you were in Palau and you called Moving Mountains Television. So that's happened two times, actually. One lady was over at the house and recognized our back porch from the TV channel because we've done some filming back there. And then the man who gave us the airtime on the radio station commented that he very much liked the Noah's Ark program. This is done by World Video Bible School. If you haven't seen this, you really need to see it. It's done by the Brotherhood, okay? And really shows you all about Noah's Ark. They go over and tour the replica that was made. Really a fascinating program. And then one more piece of feedback. A girl, in her own words, said that she thought what we were doing was cool. So, brethren, that's this year alone, feedback that we've gotten off the channel. And you know what that tells us? People are watching. People are watching. So what are they watching? They are watching things like Leaping in Faith, which I'll tell you again more about in a few minutes. They're watching and learning the plan of salvation through Searching for Truth. They're watching Bible Questions and Answers. They're watching In Search of the Lord's Way with Phil Sanders. They're watching What Happened to the Dinosaurs from Apologetics Press. They're watching shows about lying, raising children, the death of Christ, and even brotherhood debates. That's what they're watching on Moving Mountains Television. And so, this brings up the general subject of religious TV. Well, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Business speculation shows, I don't want to watch that. A train ride, brethren, I don't want to watch that either. Here we are. This is Leaping in Faith. This is the show that we're doing that goes on to the TV channel. The TV channel is the carrier for getting the Bible message out there. Here we are doing our show. It's religious TV. So here's our introduction. There's a 20-second teaser followed by a title sequence that's 1 minute. And during the title sequence, we have an upbeat a cappella song that's being sung. So I'm sure that it will come as no surprise to you for me to say that people in the world consider religious TV to be some of the more boring TV out there. Now, that's just the truth of it, so it's okay to say it that way, isn't it? Not people in the church now, but people who are out in the world. And so that's their attitude. Well, let's do a quick survey concerning boring TV. There's a reason with this, a reason for this. Here is my top 10. Now, you've actually already seen this through what we've looked at so far. My top 10 of the most boring things to watch on television. You've got the Weather Channel, Shopping Channel, business speculation shows, bowling, infomercials. There's ice skating. And then there's car racing. Now, I don't mean to offend anyone here in Alabama. A lot of people really enjoy car racing. I'm just not one of them, so it's in my top 10. And then you've got archery. There are fishing shows. And then coming in at number one is something that you've probably never heard of before, and that is Norwegian Slow TV. This is a real channel in Norway. And they put a television camera inside the cab of a locomotive and record a 9-hour train ride and then play that on the channel. It's called Norwegian Slow TV. Now, after the 9-hour train ride, they change the programming up a little bit. You've got a 3-hour aquarium show and then a 3-hour fireplace show. Norwegian Slow TV. Go look it up. This is a real thing. This is a real thing. So, brethren, why are we talking about what's boring television? Because for people out in the world, religious TV ranks somewhere on that list. Well, brethren, that's what we're doing. We're doing religious TV. And so we have to address the fact that people rank it somewhere on this list, the average person. And so it's our objective and it's our goal to get as many people watching the program as we can so that we can have the greatest influence that we can. And so what can we do then to make it where people will watch Leaping in Faith and watch the channel Moving Mountains? That's the challenge. That's what we want to overcome as much as possible. And so that's why we've looked at these commercials tonight and looked at these different video clips. So what are we doing? What have we done? Well, I'm going to tell you. But before I do, let me tell you the most important thing, as you already know and will readily agree, the most important qualities of a religious TV program. And they are, number one, that it teaches the truth. That it teaches the truth. Brethren, it's got to not only teach the truth, but number two, teach the truth in love if we want people to listen to it. But then thirdly, the next most important thing, and this is a TV point, is that the host of the show be genuine. The host of the show must be genuine. You know, it's okay if the host is not funny. It's okay if the host is not charismatic. It's okay if the host is kind of a not such a bright person, as long as he or she is genuine. But the minute, the very moment that the audience at home watching TV realizes that that person is not genuine, then click, that's when it occurs. And so what we're doing with Leaping in Faith is, number one, letting the host be genuine. By the way, that's me. That's me. And so sometimes people may say, Joey, you better guard putting your personality out there. Brethren, it's okay to have a bad personality as long as it's genuine. And that's what we're doing with Leaping in Faith. So let me tell you about what we're doing to break it up. Have you ever noticed when you're watching television that the camera changes or the camera angle changes or it changes to another clip every about once every second? That's how often the scene changes or there's a camera change in a TV show. And so we're learning from that, that we want to have lots of breaks in our program. We don't want to have someone sitting in front of a fake plant in a bookshelf and then a 20-minute lecture on the TV. That is what makes people think that religious TV is boring. And so we're breaking it up. We have a 20-second teaser, a 1-minute title sequence, and then 3 minutes of teaching on the subject of, say, for example, heaven. And then we have a time where I talk with myself. And this talk with self gives us the chance to play the devil's advocate. And so the guy in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen that you see in just a second, he takes a worldly position on something, for example, going to church. And he's saying to the other guy, saying, you know, I don't know why I have to go to church. I can go fishing. And I can go out there and sit in the boat, and it's very peaceful, and it's surreal, and it's almost like having communion with nature, communion with God. And so if I'm out in the boat having communion with God, then why do I have to feel like I need to be at the church building? It's more spiritual for me to be fishing. And so then the guy in the top left corner talking to him and correcting him can point him to Hebrews 10:25 and say, look, we want to follow what the Bible says. We want to do it God's way. And so while it's special to go fishing, still on Sunday morning, this is the time when God has asked us to give him some time and come and worship him. Say thank you to him for all that he's done for us. And so I can correct myself without being offensive, directly offensive to the person sitting watching the TV program. And so that's one of the things that we've done to break up the show and yet do the teaching at the same time. And then we just have a series of teachings and then other breaks. This one we call Amazing Things from the Bible. And in it, we'll do something that's a side item to the main topic of the show. In this particular clip, I'm talking about how sprinkling came about to be accepted as baptism and how it really is not from the Bible but through history. And so that's on the baptism episode. And so these are the things that we have done. Once in each program also, I have a talk with my son Noah Treat. And there's another unique perspective that we are able to share something together. We have one where I'm asking him if he needs any further teaching in school, if he needs a tutor. Because here we have, in Galatians 3:24-25, the statement that Paul makes, that the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, but after faith in Christ has come, we're no longer under the tutor. Well, that's a word that maybe the islanders do not understand. And it's not a commonly used word today. And so Noah and I, in talking about whether he needs further teaching, explain what a tutor is. And then we go right back to Galatians 3:24-25 in the teaching and bring that in. So these are the things. Every 3 minutes, there's a break in the teaching. And brethren, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing to help it be more listenable for those who are outside the church. So, brethren, we did find something to watch. That's good. We finally found something. You know, we searched for something to watch. We found it. And people in the islands and people in the United States and all over the world, but for our particular audience, people in the islands are looking for something to watch. More than that, they're looking for happiness. They're looking for peace. They're looking for God. Maybe they don't realize it, but they're looking for God. And leaping in faith through moving mountains is one way that we're able to deliver that to them. So please pray for that effort. That's Palau and Chuuk. That's our work in the islands. And so we did finally find something to watch. But you know, brethren, better than something to watch is something to do. And tonight we have the opportunity of having something to do. You know, if we don't have our lives right with God, then there's something that we need to do, isn't it? It's not that we need to go home and watch something. It's that we need to do something, and that is get our hearts and lives right with God. We have that opportunity tonight. If you need the prayers of the church, or if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, then don't hesitate to come right now as we stand and sing.